Doot 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 doot
doot doot doot doot.
Come on, Ron, join in.
Doot doot doot.
Give us the baritone. Doot 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 doot.
Matty, you take over for me. I can't sing.
Doot doot.
I can't. I don't even know what he's singing. What is he doing?
Doot 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 doot. Ron, join in. Look at Folsy back there, Ron.
He's got rhythm. To it anyway.
And he's handsome. Both of those things.
And mature now, too.
This song sucks, by the way. It is a little bit catchy. At some point, Folsy, are you going to incorporate the songs that Ron and I gave you for rejoins, intros, whatever they're called in the radio?
You have no excuse not to.
What's he doing,
you have
Ron?
Had this stuff
it's been 4 months.
For months. And I know you were off for 3 of the 4 months.
Yeah. And we continue to play dentist elevator music with every break. What are we doing? Although that one is catchy.
What
does
Mike Tomlin call it? Elevator music.
That's right.
There's a few of them that are catchy, but overall they do need to be changed.
Nameless gray faces singing. They're not even singing. They're playing elevator. That's not even people in a studio. That's just like canned music. Ron, when they made albums, and I might add about 2 weeks ago was the anniversary of the greatest album ever made, Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks. It was one take. He'd go into a studio with a real band, which for people who don't know, that means human beings playing instruments live, and they'd do one take of each song, and boom, you have a brilliant album. Now it's all canned BS, like that stuff we just heard, albeit catchy. I'll admit that. Ron, nothing's the same as it used to be. I don't care if I'm an old man yelling at a cloud. Worse now.
You asked me if I still read the papers cover to cover, and there are no papers anymore.
I know.
Things
it was
changed.
An excellent point.
Life has changed.
Do you miss the paper, the physical sports page?
I miss it. I miss the ink on my hands.
Yeah.
I miss reading it and then having to wash my hands. I miss the paper in the morning when I head to the
all of that.
Head to the cathedral, if you will. I do. I miss it terribly. I used to say nobody under the age of 40. Now it's under the age of 50. Probably doesn't know what a paper is.
Folsy, are you of an age where when I grew up, and I bet you Ron will say the same, the newspaper would come to the house and I would have to fight my dad or ask my dad if I could read the sports page first. Just grab the sports page. Is that how it was in your house, Ron?
Yeah, that's how I learned how to read. I know that.
Beaver County Times was the paper of choice.
Back then it was the Beaver Falls News Tribune. And also we got the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. One of America's great newspapers.
We got the Buffalo
News.
What was the morning paper? The Courier Express we got in the mornings, and it was the biggest moment of the day. Did you even live that life, or you're already a computer guy?
I did a little bit at the very beginning. I remember, we would get the paper. My dad would get the Post-Gazette. I think he got the Trib for
with
a while,
Ron's
too.
Mug and columns.
Yeah,
in it.
Oh, yeah. And I would do the same thing. I would go right into the sports section, rip that thing out, throw away the rest of the paper because I didn't care about the news or anything else.
I was thinking about this. You talk about my column and my mug. I had an anniversary just passed in January. I started like January 1st, 2nd, writing a column.
Yeah.
34 years.
Wow.
My first column would have been in the January 2nd or 3rd of 1989. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
In the Post-Gazette. It was always the Post-Gazette for columns?
No, as a columnist, yeah. I left the press to go to the Post-Gazette in January of 88. Now, wait a minute. Maybe it was January of 89 I left to go to the Post-Gazette. I wrote my first column January of 90. So I guess it's 33 years.
33 years.
33 years.
Congratulations.
How about that?
It's been a hell of a run.
It's been a hell of a run.
It's been a hell of a run. Do you like that horse?
But the highlight.
I thought it was pretty good for the top of the show.
The highlight has been these last few years working with you. You know what I mean?
Even the compliments get undermined here.
We got another big anniversary coming up here. Next, a week from tomorrow, will be our 13-year anniversary at this station. 13 years. I told Folsy, remember Horse put together a nice little package?
Yes.
He's got to try to find that. Highlights of the first.
Oh, we will. Unless they've been,
Hope he put it somewhere safe and secure.
Lost in all the commotion around.
You believe you and I, not together, but we've been doing a show here for 13 years.
Hell of a run.
Hell of a run. I can still see the parking lot out here that almost ended you before you really got started. He'd have beat the hell out of you.
Likely, yeah. They said the station might not last a month or a year, and here we are 13 years later, not just really the whole station thriving. Show absolutely thriving, Folsy. We're not allowed to mention any numbers, but I did notice the numbers went up when you were gone. Ron, did you notice that?
Dramatically.
It was incredible.
And I credit Seth Don't Call Me Sean Myers.
I give Steiny most of the credit for that.
Harry Callis. People. Even though Harry waves the callers right on through. Jolie Nelson.
Allison and Allison Park. Harry Callis. Come on in.
Give credit.
Join the show.
Give credit to everybody but Steiny.
Yeah. No, Folsy, the numbers started to really thrive when you were still here. Let's point that out right now.
Yeah,
thoughts? Feelings? Statements?
I love it.
When I first came to Pittsburgh, it will, and moved into Shadyside is where I first lived. 5823 Holden Street, orange indoor outdoor carpeting, basically up in the attic.
Wow.
It was horrific. But one of the highlights of my day would be to get the Post-Gazette. I don't remember. This was November of 89. It would have been where was Smyzik then? At the Press? I don't remember who was where.
I think he was at the Press at that point.
Collier was at the Press.
They all ended up at the Post-Gazette.
They did, but in November of 89 at the Press?
You see, I was at the Press, but not a columnist. I was doing
Kaiden would have been Post-Gazette then?
Yes.
And
Paul Jays, remember Paul Jays?
Yes. It was a highlight of my day to read these guys. That's what I loved. It helped get me through the early days. I had no friends in Pittsburgh. I still don't all these years later. But I knew one person in all of Pittsburgh. It was a very lonely time in November of 89. And one of the things that got me through is I always loved reading sports pages. And honestly, Pittsburgh, I think, has a tradition of some of the great sports columnists and great sports coverage. And I'm a connoisseur of it all. Any place I've been and reading around the country, you're lucky, I think, people here, to have read the people we've read and had over the years, Ron. Do you agree?
I totally agree. I mean, I grew up in this city, too. I go back to remember Al Abrams, who was considered one of the gods of the business, and then obviously music and Kaiden, and there have been so many good ones over the years. It's been fun to be a part of. It's a great sports city. I was thinking about this the other day, how much fun they're having in Philly and in Kansas City. We've certainly had our share of luck here. Who's it? Cleveland, Houston, Jacksonville have never been to a Super Bowl, I believe. Those three cities. I think that's the only three. And Houston and Jacksonville.
Detroit?
Detroit. There's four.
Houston and who?
Jacksonville and Cleveland.
Cleveland and Detroit.
And Jacksonville, Houston, kind of an asterisk because they haven't been around forever.
Well, think about it. I moved here in late November of 89. Since then, how many championships here?
Yeah.
Five for the Penguins, right?
Yeah, started in the early 90s.
And two for the Steelers since then, or two?
Two.
That's seven championships.
None for the Pirates, although they had some division titles.
I mean, even the Pirates, I saw two pretty good runs with really fun teams. Granted, there was 20-year droughts in between, but even them have done more than, like, teams where I grew up have done. Except the Bills did have that nice run. They really did.
It's a great sports town. We're very lucky to be doing this in this city.
I can't believe it, Ron. It was almost fate that brought me here. I loved the Pirates as a kid because we didn't have a baseball team, and sometimes I would sit at PNC Park and think, am I really covering a Pirates game? Think of your little self, the savvy young news hound, a little 8-year-old Joe Starkey putting my own Stargell Stars on posters in my room for the Pirates after certain games.
I had a few Stargell Stars that he actually gave to me.
Really?
And I don't know whatever happened to them. I mean, this tiny little things. He gave them to me. He gave them to everybody.
That's pretty cool.
The captain.
Well, one of the better writers, reporters, columnists, really, in this town for a long time, our very own Jerry Dulek at the Post-Gazette writes today, Steelers want Mitch Trubisky back. But it's a complicated situation. Jerry talks about the $8 million in salary, the $10.6 million cap hit. That would make him among the highest paid backups in the league, if not the highest. Talks about whether Trubisky will want to be here. Talks about the idea of a restructure in order to lessen the cap hit. Honestly, in the end, it sounds way too complicated. I don't think it needs to be that complicated. I can't believe it could be more simple with a backup quarterback. You're under contract. We're going to pay you the money already for next year. And we have the luxury of having a starter who we don't have to pay any money yet, so we can afford this. It's only $10 million. The cap's going up again at a record pace this year. Ron, to me, it's a simple case, not a complicated one. Bring him back.
You have said it all along, and I wrote this a couple weeks ago. It just makes total sense to bring him back. The price isn't exorbitant. He's shown he can do well as a backup, better than he did as a starter. Say what you will about Matt Canada's offense, but he knows it, and all indications are he worked well with Pickett. You know, if he doesn't work well with Pickett, that could be a problem, but it seems like he does. And we're both all in favor of bringing him back. And I've heard all along that they want to, but we've seen guys be able to bitch their way out of town here before.
Yes.
What he feels about this, but I have
what Trubisky feels. Yeah.
But I have to think that it makes sense to bring him back, even at that price. And Dulac pointed out that you can't just restructure because he's in the last year. You have to give him more years, make him voidable. I mean, there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hope he's back. I don't know how many other guys are going to be better out there than him, and I don't know how many other guys out there you're going to be able to find, A, better than him, and B, cheaper than him. I don't know that you're going to be able to find that combination. So why not keep him?
Exactly.
Unless he becomes a destructive force in the room.
Well, here's the thing.
And I've never heard that to be the case.
Yeah, nobody's heard that. Jerry said that wasn't the case yet. And how would that serve him? It's one thing for LeGarrette Blount to quit the team.
Yeah, he ends up in
and go to another team. Say what you will about the Steelers these days. They're still a very powerful organization with very influential people in their organization. Would it serve Mitch Trubisky to sabotage the team?
In his own case, he's got to play and make money for next year if he wants a contract.
He's not going to do that. He's not a guy that's going to do that. Although, what you said is true. Tomlin's "we want volunteers, not hostages" policy has complicated things a little bit overall, because anybody who wants to cry a little seems to get their way out of town.
Right.
I just don't see that serving Trubisky, and I don't see him as being the kind of guy who's going to do it. I don't. And if he starts with it, then you have to put your foot down and say, listen, you're going to harm yourself here.
You're playing for your next contract.
Yeah. And plus, he's in a situation here where Kenny Pickett, we have no idea if Kenny Pickett's going to be the Iron Man type or if he's going to be a guy who's susceptible to injury. I don't know.
Concussions already.
Right. We don't know. How can you know about any player at any position until they play a couple of years if they're actually going to be a bad luck injury guy or whether they're going to play every game? He's one step away from playing, at least a couple games, maybe a lot. I mean, God forbid. I hope Pickett stays healthy, but there's no way of knowing about any player at any position. This is actually a great position for a guy still in his 20s. And if he doesn't see that,
one snap away.
Shame on him if he doesn't see that. Plus, as Dulac pointed out, it'll be the most money he's ever made in 1 year.
And would he go anywhere else? And no one else is going to give him a starting job.
No.
So he's going to be a backup wherever he goes.
Yes.
So why not here? He knows the offense, such as it is.
Yeah.
Why not here? And seemingly a good relationship with Pickett.
Yeah, this is obvious best case scenario for both sides. It really is. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. And like you're saying, I mean, it's not like he goes somewhere else and it competes really for a starting position. I don't really know if any team would really bring him in with a quarterback competition like he was last year. I don't know if he gets that same scenario with what he showed this past season. So if he stays here, he backs up Kenny Pickett again, Joe. Like, we don't know how injury-prone Kenny Pickett is. He got banged up a couple of times in his rookie year. Maybe that's a theme with him.
You don't know. That's the whole thing. And here's the other thing that Jerry brought up is, how does Trubisky react to this, what he went through this year? I'm sorry, but Mitch Trubisky, this was the only team in the NFL that would have brought in Mitch Trubisky and let him go unchallenged from spring to the first game for their number one quarterback spot, in spite of drafting a guy They drafted a guy in the first round. And by the way, shame on him and his agent if they didn't realize that was a possibility, stated or not. He was never brought here as the long-term answer. Therefore, by definition, it was always possible they were going to draft a quarterback. He has no beef here. They said, Mitch, it's your team. And then they didn't even run a competition in spring or summer. And he got four starts, a quarter of a season, to revive his career and to prove himself as the starter. And he failed. And if he doesn't acknowledge that, that he at least had something to do with that, then again, shame on him, Ron.
No, I hear you, and I feel the same way, but we're not in his shoes. I don't know what Tomlin told him. I don't know if Tomlin told him he was going to be the starter all year, that the plan was to bring along Pickett real slowly and let him learn. I'm not saying he's right, but from what my understanding is, he clearly feels like he was deceived by Tomlin. And if you feel that way, you're not going to be happy. You and me looking at it from the outside, man, you had every opportunity. That doesn't necessarily mean what Tomlin told him and how his mind processed
that. What could Tomlin possibly have told him where he feels deceived? You're going to be the starter for the whole year? That would be an act of insanity. What if Trubisky wound up like Nate Peterman and threw 12 picks and no touchdowns?
Don't forget about Nate Peterman.
In the first 3 weeks? There's no way Tomlin told him, you're our starter for the whole year. No coach would tell a quarterback that, I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But he might have told him, hey, listen, this is your job. We want Pickett to bring along slowly.
Sure.
And then 3.5 in they pulled the plug on him.
Yeah.
And he takes that personally.
Sure. Any quarterback would.
Anybody would. And, I mean, that's what I said. I think your theory and the way you explained it is right on, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's buying it.
True, but his beef is not legitimate, whether he's buying it or not, and he needs to get over it or he's going to harm his own career. So who's ever advising him better advise him to take the $10 million, shut his mouth, come to training camp, and be the backup.
Yeah, if anything, he's making good money.
Play away.
Yeah.
I mean, where else is he going to get the money he's making this year even? Is another team going to offer him an $8 million base salary to come in as the backup?
I don't know about that. That's a lot for a backup. It is.
Yeah.
So he can make more money here, advance his career, possibly. At worst, sit around like he did in Buffalo, which advanced his career because he didn't play bad. I just think it's a good situation. He might have a beef, but somebody's got to tell him it's not a legitimate one. It's just not.
It sounds to me like this will work out.
Woo-hoo! It's the Trubisky train.
It sounds to me like this will work out, that he will be their backup. You know, you make a case why he should want it, and Dulac makes the case that they definitely want him.
Did he make that case?
I'm sorry?
Let me read this again.
Did Dulac make
that case?
Yeah, he said they want him.
Okay.
In his first sentence.
I thought Labriola said that. The first sentence was that? Would like nothing more than to maintain the stability of their quarterback.
So they want him, and maybe...
At what price, though?
And maybe, yeah, but... Yeah.
It's one thing to say they want him. Do they want him at this price?
Well, if they don't want him at that price, then they'll end up cutting him if he doesn't take the pay cut. But I think I just have a feeling this is going to work out, that both sides will realize that this is the best thing for each.
They should. It seems pretty clear cut, and I also think it would behoove the Steelers to circle this position and then just exit off. It's so simple. It's not complicated.
Well, I told you that. Jimmy Johnson book, the guy said, he says, the most important position in football is the starting quarterback, the second most, backup quarterback.
He's right.
And that, to me, that you can't just ignore that position and hope you get somebody in here.
And I'll tell you what else.
You know what you have in Trubisky.
I'll tell you what else is important. Their third quarterback. I counted the number of teams in the AFC that had to dip into their third quarterback.
Like 9.
With all the injuries, yeah.
I did that too when I wrote about this with Trubisky.
Yeah.
I think 10 teams have had the quarterback play all year, just one.
Yeah.
9 had at least 3.
Yes.
9 had and 1, 2, San Francisco, Carolina. There were like 3 teams that had 4.
Yes.
Four.
Yes.
It's an important position.
They're dropping like flies. One of the reasons why, I believe, is because defensive coaches are mastering the game, as always, and that the name of the game is to hit the other quarterback and disrupt passing games. That's the name of the game. Everybody's drafting pass rushers. That's what you want. these two teams are in the Super Bowl largely because they harassed other quarterbacks to death, right? Look at Chris Jones. Did Joe Burrow never stepped into a throw? And I'm losing my breath in the AFC title game.
Getting emotional here, Joe.
And we all saw what Reddick did. He knocked their starter out of the game.
Boy, he's a good player.
So everybody wants pass rushers, and that results in more quarterback injuries. It just does. Look at the AFC. Miami went to a third quarterback. The Jets, Cleveland for different reasons. Didn't they dip into Josh Dobbs at least a little bit? I don't remember.
Baltimore.
Baltimore with injuries. It just happens.
A bunch had three.
Indianapolis. My God, we had to sit through Nick Foles one night.
Well, and they were sabotaging themselves a little bit, too, along the way, starting Sam Ellinger out of nowhere.
Still haven't hired a coach, have they?
They have not.
Is it going to be Jeff Saturday?
I bet you there's internal arguments right now where it seems like the owner wants Saturday, and other people are saying, have you lost your mind? Which I think happened a long time ago,
Arizona,
but that's beside the point.
Arizona hasn't named a coach, right? Looks like Brian Flores said, you know what? I'm going to go to the defensive coordinator with Minnesota.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Let's talk about whether that was a smart move. We can take a little trip around the NFL here. But
how about Sean Payton putting his foot down a little bit in Denver yesterday?
Let's talk about that.
That was a very interesting comment that he made.
There's another Steeler-related tentacle to that Broncos story, I think. Let's talk about that coming up. Twitter, you can follow along. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Dulac, by the way, mentioned Jacoby Brissett, which we've mentioned in here. So, Ron, just real quickly here, if they could guarantee themselves Jacoby Brissett at a cheaper rate, and I'm not saying they would tamper. God knows, nobody ever tampers in the NFL.
Of course
but if,
not.
If they could guarantee themselves Jacoby Brissett, sign me up. Otherwise, I don't see a lot of guys that would make this situation better and cheaper, you know?
No, and would he come any cheaper? I don't know.
Good question. We'll explore the Pittsburgh side of the Denver story coming up next on Cook and Joe.